Wow, it's really easy to put ourselves in the mix now.
Yeah, there's no more slider switches and stuff.
Yeah, you just push a button and boom, there, you're on the air. Welcome. Hey, everybody, this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
And, of course, Scott L. is out and about. He will not be joining us tonight.
No.
Karma is out and about. She will not be joining us tonight. But who will be joining us is George Lutz. And we will be talking again with him in a half hour from now about... Well, everything Amityville Horror-ish, and the new movie, and pretty much everything going on there. So that'll be pretty cool, and I'm sure you've all heard about Amityville Horror, and you probably heard him last week on our show and on the archive. Did I put the archive up, or?
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, well, someone did, I'm sure. And I'm not all that good at it, but anyway... Ghostly Talk is broadcast live on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And we're broadcast on Pioneer Network, which is pioneer.rolo, R-O-L-O.net. Our own website is, of course, www.ghostlytalk.com. That's been a happening place lately. The forums are screaming.
Oh, yeah.
The new Ghostly Talk drinking game is being revived.
We need somebody to do that.
Yeah, you don't have to yell into the mic, though.
Oh, well.
Yeah, let me do that. Okay.
But we do need somebody to do that.
Well, we can practice.
At the party.
At the party this upcoming Saturday.
Kyle, yeah. You game?
Oh, is Kyle going to be at the party?
I don't know. He needs to be, though.
Oh, man. Yeah, he can show us how to play that new Ghostly Talk drinking game. I think that would work. That would work out really well. Of course, me and my Diet Pepsi, I would just be like hyper-er. At the end of playing that game. What was it? Every time... I don't remember all of them. But they were really good. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. And that's one of the hottest threads. Of course, just tons and tons is happening in the... what do they call those things? The journals. I read every journal. And... The latest thing was, what was it? Oh, Aaron Radio.
Radio Aaron.
I'm sorry, yeah. See how much I pay attention? Radio Aaron. And I listened to a little bit of it. I listened to the first part of the initial or the inaugural broadcast.
My DSL's down.
Ah, well, don't worry, I have a copy. Oh, did that go on the air? Oh, my gosh. Who said that?
It's a haunted basement.
Ah, yeah, they're EVP. EVP from the other side, right in the haunted basement studios. oh, man. So that was really, really cool. I checked that this afternoon, actually. And it's like, oh, I'll broadcast today. I'm like, oh, today? Oh, man, I'm here. I can listen.
Yeah,
so I listened.
And broadcast at 2 o'clock, I think.
Yeah, and it was very exciting. I did notice, though... When they went from the 3 o'clock break, mm-hmm. He's like, you know, okay, we'll be right back after this break, right? And music starts playing or something. No, music doesn't start playing. And they go, okay, so what's going on? You know, and I'm like, I think we've got the studio feed. I don't think we have
it was their first attempt. There's always going to be some rocks to trip over and.
Right. Right. Oh, believe me, Murphy, he visits everywhere. And if you start a internet radio show, he'll be there checking it out, you know. And, yeah, that was interesting. I did get some new equipment. We, of course, have now the phone patch.
Yes.
Which may or may not work today. We did test it, Scott K. Thank you very much for helping out last week. We did test it again this week. We had Devin from Ghostish Files.
Yes.
Call before the show to make sure that he could hear us and stuff. He said we were a bit echoey, but I don't know. Who knows? We'll find out.
Yeah.
We'll see how George thinks about hearing himself over and over. I don't know. And so we do have that. And I also have a Shure microphone. I bought a Shure microphone. It's obviously a low-end model, but it said Pro on it.
So yeah, we go through microphones pretty quickly around here.
We do. Microphones are us. That is true.
But the one Scott K sent me is working very, very well. But I'm using it right now.
Yes. Yes, and the Shure microphone, of course, and on the end of it, it's got the XLR jacks instead of the cheapy realistics or whatever we still have, you know, with the normal, wires and hookups and stuff. This is XLR, but it came with the cord is XLR to RCA Phono, so I just plugged it in the same place I always plug into. So there we are with I have a new microphone. Hopefully I sound sexier and smarter than ever. That's what I like. The T-shirts.
Yeah, we went through like five different models for the shirt.
Right. We had to keep rejecting them, you know.
They just kept rejecting us.
I know. We're like, would you model this shirt? And then when we hold up, they're like, I'm doing my nails that day. Okay, well, how about the next
Murphy
day?
Really
and
came,
my hair the next day.
Murphy came into play with that a lot.
Yeah,
like, well, the first model, there was a bit of a situation where, you know, I don't want to get into, but she wasn't able to, or I wasn't going to let her do the shirt.
And oh, there you go. Ooh.
It would have hurt some friendships.
We don't want that.
And then everybody else, it was like, they would say yes, and then I wouldn't hear from them. I would leave a message and not hear from them. The one, her phone was actually shut off.
That sounds like me.
Two days before, I was going to call Scott L., get it all set up, so we could shoot it at his house, and I couldn't get a hold of him again.
Huh.
And they've still not coming back.
Hmm.
And then the one, her phone was shut off, and I have no clue why. And
she's like, I agreed to do this T-shirt thing. I better call Singular right now. I need to cancel my account.
And she's been friends with me for like 4 years.
Oh, it's a $480 cancellation fee. Okay. Because I don't want Will to get in touch with me for the next couple of weeks. Yeah. Well, I'm kind of like that. I rarely return phone calls.
Well, the model we got, she's...
If I call you, you know it's important. Because I don't like phones. I don't like... And I have two cell phones. I have Vonage. I have so much stuff. I hate phones.
Well, the girl that we had do it, I just met her about a month and a half ago. I didn't even have her phone number. I knew her. She was a friend of a friend.
Right.
And normally she goes to the bar on Friday nights with me.
Mm-hmm.
And she has been for the past, 5-6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't there.
Oh.
And I'm like,
there you go.
Ah! So I met a friend called her, and she said she'd do it.
Wow.
I said, see if she can do it, tomorrow at, 5 o'clock. And she was able to do it, no problem.
Oh, that is totally awesome. That works out.
So her and her sister came out. And
that worked out really well because, I saw the one photo up there. Scott talks about this. Scott L. talks about this mystery page.
He called me at 10 after 2 in the morning to tell me about the mystery page.
Right. It's this page. He's described this page now to you and then independently to me as well. He's independently described this page where you can go in and order these things.
Right.
However, there is no page. I mean, it's a mystery page because it does not exist.
So I'm going to have to get on the horn with him while he's at work tonight.
Yeah, yeah. Because yeah. I thought that was something. I'm like, okay, I don't see this mystery page anywhere, so
idea. You can pay with PayPal. You can pay through the P.O. box.
Okay.
And
there's
two methods of payment.
Yeah, you can send Diet Pepsi to the Hana Basement Studios in Fraser, Michigan. You just write Hana Basement Studios, Fraser, Michigan, 48026.
The postman will know where it's at.
Yeah. Or you could write, Hana Basement Studios, care of the ice cream truck lady. Take a drink. That was one of them, ice cream truck lady. Okay, don't send Diet Pepsi. I got plenty.
Yeah, he has the palate show up every week.
Yes, I am good to go, at least for now, for the next week. Have you done any ghost hunting or anything ghostly over the past couple of weeks? Because I sat there trying to think, okay, here I am with all this equipment now, because we've got more equipment than ever for ghostly talk, right?
You know, I can't say I've done anything since the Sally House.
I don't think I've done anything since the Sally House other than read...
I've been so
paranormal
busy.
News.
I moved. I've been running here and there and everywhere, and I just haven't had a chance. Plus, it's still cold outside.
Right.
Today was nice, but like tomorrow's supposed to be like 14 degrees.
You're kidding.
No. It's going to be cold. It's either tomorrow or the next day, I forget, but it's going to drop down again.
Well, I'll have to turn on the heater down here in the Hana Basement Studios for my work day. Yeah, it's kind of depressing. I ordered a part for my new camcorder because I, of course, one of the things that I did at the Sally House was, other than, you know, all the ghost hunting that ensued, I also left my power pack at the Sally House. So it is there. And
which I actually had picked up. And right. Left it because we
thought
it was
his. Is this anybody's? No. It's mine. Yeah. So anyway, so I ordered a part. I went to SamsungParts.com, right? Ordered the... I decided against ordering the AC adapter because I want the DC adapter, because if we go out and about, like, on camping trips and stuff,
right.
I want the DC adapter. And you can buy a wall plug at Sears or anywhere
that converts
from wall to one of them, like, cigarette lighters
right. For
a car. So this adapter, all it does is plug into a cigarette lighter, plug into the Samsung.
That works.
You know, video camera. So that's all I wanted. It was like $50 or something outrageous. And so I ordered it. And finally, that was weeks ago. And it was the Monday after Sally House. It was the Monday or Tuesday after Sally House. So I finally emailed them last week, and they said, oh, that part's on back order.
Well, that sucks.
How many people buy these things?
That really sucks. I feel bad for you.
So I went around looking at the iGo equipment, because what I would love is a universal power something. So iGo is this company, and I guess Radio Shack's pushing them, and you know how much we love Radio Shack, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm over there at Radio Shack, and I'm spinning around the spinning display, you know, looking for an iGo power converter thingy for a Samsung. They don't have a tip yet.
That sucks.
Uh-huh. That's because nothing has a square tip, and this uses a square tip. Everything uses round tips. So I was pretty depressed. But see, in our fields, and our fields are ghost hunting, or amateur ghost hunting, and amateur internet radio hosts, right?
Mm-hmm.
In those fields, we do a lot of stuff with a lot of power cords.
Yeah.
We have power cords for days. And I would like some universal solution. And I would buy like 10 of them. I don't care if it's $1,000, $100 each. Just something to have a universal solution for power. And the iGo was actually pretty close, because I figured, oh, this rocks. Because if I get this iGo, and then I get a tip, because that's what it is. You buy this iGo thing, and then you buy tips for the different equipment that you have.
Mm-hmm.
I can buy a tip for my my little camera. You can buy a tip for a Hewlett Packard digital cam. I can buy a tip for the Samsung, although you can't. I can buy a tip for my laptop. I can buy a tip for the, for other people's cameras. I thought, well, okay, you have a Hewlett Packard, just like mine, your digital.
Right.
Karma has that. What, I don't know what brand her digital camera or her video camera is, but you can buy a tip for it.
I don't know, because I have it in my possession. I don't know.
Wow, you pay a lot of attention to that, don't you? But, you know, and you can buy a tip. So power solutions would be absolutely divine for me if they had a universal power solution. But I have yet to find one. So
patent it.
I think iGo is working on it. They just haven't made a tip yet for the... For the Samsung, so I'm pretty depressed about that. What about, have you kept up on news? Like, for example, I know in the, what do you think of this? In the journals, I forget who said it, someone said that Lauren Coleman got bashed in an eBay posting. Did you read that?
I did, but it was kind of like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I don't remember much of what I read that night.
Yeah. Well, Lauren Coleman, of course, is the cryptozoologist. He is the one. He wrote the book called The Cryptozoologist. I mean, he is like, welcome to cryptozoology. I mean, he is the cryptozoologist.
He's like the Stanton Friedman of ufology.
Right. He's like the expert.
Right.
But in this post in the journals, evidently the person like quoted from this eBay posting, and it's like something about this cryptozoology book, and it's like, and it's not like Lauren Coleman's cryptozoology books, which of course are absolutely ridiculous and hilarious and blah 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 blah, and they're fanciful, you know, flights of fancy and stuff. And I'm like, what is he talking about?
I actually have one of Lauren Coleman's
cryptozoology, actually, A to Z.
In fact, actually, you have it right now.
I do.
That's a phenomenal book.
Uh-huh.
It's well written. It's just chock full of information.
Right. I was absolutely floored.
It's like the encyclopedia for cryptozoology.
So I wonder about this other book. I didn't check it out. I need to go and check it out and see who wrote this other book because I didn't pay any attention. I was too floored about the Lauren Coleman part.
Right.
So I didn't check it out, but I thought that was pretty interesting. And in a related topic, our friend Kyle A. from Windsor put up a rant, and I don't blame him, in his journals, which he doesn't put many journals either, but in his journals he put up a rant about experts throughout the internet. And I know Scott L. would have a lot to say about this, but there's experts throughout the internet, and here's what it is. This guy posts on a message board, or guy or girl, I don't know. This person posts on a message board, I am a paranormal expert, and I wish to help anybody. Please tell me your stories, and I'll help you out. And so what happened after that, of course, was probably pages and pages of, like, okay, you're a goof, you know?
Yeah.
Who are you to be an expert? Like, what'd you do? Just, like, print up a business card from that freebusinesscard.com or whatever? And there you go. You're now an expert. I mean, because it's what people do. It really is. I see where Kyle's coming from.
I mean, if someone came to me and wanted to talk about, you know, anything in the paranormal, I know a lot about it, but I'm not an expert in any of it. I mean, I can...
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Exactly.
And that's pretty much what we do. I mean, and that's the one thing, and I've said this over and over and over on other shows, and I'll say it again. That's why I admire people like Pat Fitzhugh.
Mm-hmm.
And Pat Fitzhugh, of course, is the Bell Witch expert. And he studied that case. He dug up documentation. I mean, you're talking traveling.
And I consider him an expert of that particular haunting.
Right, he is.
Yeah.
And I admire that because I don't get to do that. That's not my thing. I guess I'm faster than that. I need more quick. I need to change topics over and over and over really, really fast. I need to get on to the next thing, and everything just fascinates me. So I don't have time to sit down and research one specific thing to its fullest extent.
With me in my life, I bounce from thing to thing. I'll deal with ghosts for a while, and then I'm on to, you know, reading about conspiracy theory for a while. I was on Above Top Secret InfoWars every day for like 3 months, but then I'm on the UFOs.
Right.
And it's like I never stick on one thing for very long, but I know we'll be back to it in a year.
Right.
That's the way I've always been, from the time I was a little kid.
And so I've never been, I've been the same way, and I've been interested in so many things, and I've just never buckled down and researched something to its fullest and logical conclusion, or illogical conclusion, or to the extent that you possibly can in the physical realm. You know, I've just not been able to do that. That's why I admire Pat Fitzhugh a lot, and folks who do that kind of thing. I admire that quality, and I don't have it myself.
Like Jeff Wamsley and the Mothman.
Mm-hmm. There you go. I mean, there's examples like are rife throughout the entire list of past guests and the future guests of Ghostly Talk are all these people who are experts of their field, and I'm not. I just won't be, and I can't imagine myself going. I mean, I would go into a paranormal forum, I suppose, and say, you know, I'm Doug from Ghostly Talk, you know. There
right.
You go. What does that get me?
I don't think anyone can really consider themselves. Themselves an actual paranormal expert, because there's so much to the paranormal that them by themselves calling them calling themselves an expert would just be wrong. I mean, you have to be an expert. You have to be an expert in UFOs, conspiracy theory, anything that's out of the normal realm of thinking.
Right. Well, he went from what's interesting about this particular rant that Kyle from Windsor Ghost Hunter Society. Put was he said that like later on he says I will soon become a paranormal scientist, or I hope to soon become a paranormal scientist. So he went from I am a paranormal expert to I hope to soon become a paranormal scientist.
Don't you think scientists would come first?
I would think any kind of discipline Yeah.
So he hasn't had the discipline yet. How could he call himself an expert in it?
Good question. I don't know.
I'm sure that, you know, people like Pat Fitzhugh and Jeff Walmsley have gone through all that, you know, doing scientific research, doing historical background research, talking to witnesses, all that type of stuff, you know, before writing books.
Gathering
before,
data.
And, yeah, before they would have, you know, considered themselves an expert on it at all.
Right. And I don't even know if they do consider themselves experts. Because I don't know if you're an expert if you think you're an expert. I think you're an expert if other people
right.
think you're an expert.
Right. You can call yourself a scientist.
Right.
Because you're doing experiments and you're, you know, getting the data, but other people would have to consider you an yeah, that's definitely. You'd have to be, yeah, yeah. Other people have to think, you know, people like,
so,
people in the media, people around you, people who are looking to you for information as the expert.
Right.
Would be, you know, would be, would, yeah, that's messed up.
Right.
I don't, yeah. Kyle, good looking out.
That was a really good post. It was a really good journal entry. I think I responded to it. And if I did, because I type a lot of responses to a lot of things and I don't actually submit them,
mm-hmm.
I think, oh, that's not good enough, and I wipe it out and I go to another page. I wrote like 4 or 5 things in the forums last night, too, that I didn't send. But I did I did write a response, whether I saved it or not and put it in there, I don't remember. But I did say something to the effect of, let's get him on the show. If he's a paranormal expert, I want him on, or he or she. As a paranormal expert, I want him on Ghostly Talk. And I don't mean to tease or taunt like we've been, you know, bantering a little bit back and forth here. I mean to see if we can learn from him or her.
Yeah.
I mean, if he thinks highly of his skills or she, then why not teach us? And why wouldn't we sit down and at least give the person a chance to get out there? Do you hear all that honking
yeah.
as well? Yeah. I don't
someone
know
was doing that at my aunt's house today. When I went to go leave today, there was somebody outside doing the exact same thing, just this constant tapping of the horn. That I wanted to just walk across the street and smack the guy.
Wow.
He's one of the few neighbors that I don't know there.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to go over there and just smack him. It was I could hear it in the basement. I could hear it all throughout the house. It was right across the street.
Wow. Well, we got a horn tapper outside as well. I finally heard the owl again on an up note. We have an owl that hangs around the house. And
in the house?
Yeah. Come on in, Owlie. No, we have an owl outside the house, and
like perched in the fireplace or anything.
In the summer, like when I open up that window, he's like must be right in that bush because he goes
who,
and well he does it a lot more prettier, you know, but he probably doesn't smoke anyway.
Yeah, he does. He gets the owl going outside.
So, but he, but yeah, he goes hoo hoo or whatever, and he must be like right in that bush.
Pretty soon,
it's like really loud.
This year he's gonna sound like Sylvia Brown.
So, yeah. What do you think? Okay, somebody in the journal, not journal, somebody in the forums of ghostlytalk.com mentioned Sylvia Brown and how accurate she is.
And they must not have seen her on Larry King Live then. Because, wow, that was bad.
Well, the thing is I don't think it really matters. I think that she's undoubtedly been right on a lot of stuff.
I'm on tell. She's wonderful.
And I think that people in that field, in the psychic field, have off days. I mean,
right,
you
right.
can't, you know. I mean, sure, I can speak English every day, but I do it every day, you know, and I use it constantly, you know. How are we getting a phone call? Do you know who it is?
No.
Let me see.
Whatever it is, it's done anyway.
Oh. That was me. That was my call.
No, there was another one.
No, this is the one.
It just said, had a last name on it. It began with a W. It was like, Bojidic.
Oh, I know who that was. I know who that was. Okay. Wow, that's pretty cool.
Do they know that you broadcast from 7 to 9 p.m.?
Evidently not. 3 years, you guys. We're having our 3-year anniversary party coming up Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
This will be 3 years. So we were broadcasting and broadcasting and broadcasting.
Every week. I have my phone. My phone will have like 2 or 3 missed calls on it.
Uh-huh.
Because it's, you know, it's on silent away from the computer, so it doesn't make that dang clicking noise.
I have to admit, though, that the first part, this is some Ghostly Talk trivia, the first part, the first, 13 weeks, and maybe a little bit more, I don't remember, more or less, was on Tuesday nights for only an hour.
Yeah, that was way before me.
And then we switched it to Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. So for the better part of 3 years, and Ghostly Talk is over 3 now, because it was actually in February, late February that we
right.
started. And it's just that it works out better for our parties to have them in March. For the better part of 3 years, 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday nights, and people still call me. So what can I say?
All my family, all my friends know that I do this.
Yeah.
Everyone that I've ever worked with knows that I do this, and they still call.
Mm-hmm.
And I never answer the phone. It's the same people, though, every single time.
Yeah.
My mom has done it. You remember my mom called Scott L's phone during the show because she didn't get through on mine.
Do you know where Will is?
We're broadcasting.
We've been broadcasting for about an hour. Yeah, that's what happens. That's what happens. While we're on the air, by the way, we are in the chat rooms. If you go to pioneer.rolo.net, we're in the chat rooms. They're full. Oh, my gosh.
There's a lot of people in there. I haven't paid attention to that. I've been in private message most of the time.
Yeah, let me grab... a list. Ah, here's what we've got. We've got Will and myself. We've got Phobos, of course, out over in the UK. Phobos, check your email, because I sent you an email asking you if we got a London number. Because I would like an England, a number for England. They now offer Greater London as well as, like, London. And I don't know what the difference is. And who would cover the most people? That's what I asked you in the email. I want an email response. We have, of course, Alfie. We have April P. We have Dan the Damned. We have, of course, Devin of Ghostish Files. We've got Ghost Hunter from England.
Mm-hmm.
We have Havoc. We've got Kyle A. We've got Logan 5, Scott K, Sean B, Solog, Viper Hunter, and 8-Bit.
I do have to say thanks to Havoc, because he is really keeping up on that news for the site.
Yeah. You give him like a password for something, and bang, it's just like, bam, there you go. Tons of mail. Tons of news.
Him and Devin. Because Devin just posted up and Havoc okays it.
I think it's amazing. It's just absolutely insane. I absolutely love it. Because I now it's interesting to go to ghostlytalk.com. I'm like, oh, cool. You know, there's news up there.
It's,
yeah.
It's not us putting it up.
So it rocks. You guys, we are going to get, for your listening entertainment and as well your learning facilities. We are going to hopefully learn a lot tonight. We're going to get in touch with George Lutz of Amityville Horror, and we'll be talking with him more about Amityville Horror, more about the event, the case, more about the people, I hope. I really enjoyed that part. And more about the upcoming movie, which may or may not be legal. So I don't know how else to describe it, but of course
it's going to come out regardless.
Of course, they've got so much. Hollywood has so much money. So we will do that. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with George Lutz, I hope.
Hi, my name is Sean Burke, Indiana Ghost Tracker, www.indianaghost.org, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Listen to W Paranormal Talk Radio, Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Pioneer Radio Network. For show information, visit wparanormal.com.
He ran out to the lake in just his socks and a shirt. Me and Crazy Janie was making love in the dirt, singing our birthday song. Janie said it was time to go, so we closed our eyes and said goodbye to Gypsy Angel Row. Felt so right. Together we
www.missourighost.net. You are listening to Ghostly Talk.
Hey guys, what's up?
Saying, I'm already dead. 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 I'm already dead.
Look, man, when you reach the stand up and hold your hands up and stick them down.
I'm already dead.
You're going to get up and scream.
I'm already dead. I'm already dead.
I'm going to get up and burn an X in your head.
And welcome back. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
And I can't hear myself.
Oh, there it is.
Thank you very much. Yeah. As you know, we just got done talking about all kinds of things. We got done talking about experts. We got done talking about, the journal entries on ghostlytalk.com, the forums and all the stuff in there. We talked about a ton of stuff. But now we're going to concentrate. We're going to concentrate on, of course, the Amityville Horror.
Yes.
And, of course, we get to do that this week because we are George Lutz of, you know, the Amityville Horror, the owner of the house at the time, has graciously agreed to come back on Ghostly Talk and talk with us about, you know, just things. And things about, like, I've gotten emails throughout the week. I've gotten, a couple of that, and so I've got some questions. Of course, in the chat rooms at pioneer.rolo.net, you click on the text chat link. You can, enter questions in there. We're reading our screens as we're broadcasting.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And so we can fire off questions to George, and he's more than willing to take them on. So let's bring on George Lutz. George, welcome back.
Hi.
Welcome back to Ghostly Talk.
How are you, Doug?
So far, so good. And you do sound much clearer. So that jet lag must have cleared up pretty
much. I'm on my second round of antibiotics, and it seems to be starting to really make a difference.
Oh, that's awesome. Not awesome that it had to be done in the first place, but awesome that it's taking care of it, because that's what I like to hear.
It's working slow but sure.
Excellent. And one of the things that I was talking about, you heard the little intro that I just did, was that the listeners have wanted to know about, like, things like the phenomena in the house. They want to know about the Well, they want to know about a whole bunch of stuff, and we can get into that. But there is one question, one overriding question that I got the most of in my emails this past week.
Okay.
And I want to tell you what that was, and I want your reaction, because this is actually, I chuckled, but I didn't know how to react, actually. What happens is, a couple of years ago, and nobody could point me to the source. Nobody could point me to the source, because I emailed back and I said, hey, what's your source? I can't find anything about it on the internet. What's your source? Right? Nobody did that, probably because we ran out of time. Like, maybe they haven't checked their email since I sent, you know, the question. Or maybe they really don't have a source. But they had said something to the effect of, four different people said this. A couple of years ago, they understood that you recanted the events at the Amityville house. And I had not heard that rumor or that thing. I had not heard that. I didn't know that.
I had. I did hear.
Oh, you had heard? Okay, because I had not ever heard that. I always thought of the Amityville Horror House as just truly amazingly haunted and perhaps Hollywoodized up, you know. But at the same time, I thought, wow, you know, that was quite a paranormal event, series of events going on, brought in all these people, you know, these amazing high-profile people to investigate it. I that's how it was to me forever until I read my emails, my email questions. What and there's a fellow in the chat room, Sean B. As a matter of fact, he had heard the recanting story. Did you a couple of years ago go out and say, oh yeah, that was all made up or whatever?
No.
I didn't think so. I hoped not, anyway.
It's I believe it's an internet rumor that was started by a few people that really don't deserve even to be named.
Ah, okay. So, but nobody else knows the source, so at least that I could gather in a week.
Oh,
so,
I'd love to see the source anytime.
Well, you don't need to. We don't need to give them any credence, you know. But I have to say, I mean, unless you want to, of course.
Well, no member of the family has ever done that. That's just not... if it wasn't such a serious thing, I would probably be chuckling a bit more. But no, that's never happened. It's not going to happen.
Well, as you know, I'm sort of a third-party observer, right, who just happens to be lucky enough to be able to talk to you on the radio. And as a third-party observer, when I first saw that, I chuckled. I did. I thought, I never heard any of those. You know, why would you go on, you know, it didn't make sense to me. Like, why would you say, oh, yeah, I'll go on Ghostly Talk and talk about the Amityville Horror, even though 2 years ago I'd said no. So, I mean, it doesn't... It didn't jive with what I felt the situation would have been. So,
well, it wouldn't jive with... One really good example, I think, would be the History Mysteries. History Channel did a two-segment... So it was an hour each segment documentary on the Amityville Horror. And Kathy and I sat side by side for, I think it was more than 8 hours, 8.5 hours of continual questions that were thrown at us. We answered on camera, and we did this together for that show. You don't see the 8 hours, but they...
Right, they edit that, you know.
Sure, of course. And because there were so many different people on that, on those two shows, but no. That's not... No, that's never happened.
I'd never heard of it until I read my email, so I had to chuckle. So
I'd have to wonder why even somebody would say a couple of years ago, when that's the most recent, longest thing. The other than that, probably the ABC primetime interview that I did 2 years ago. Would also be the same thing. That was a full hour, or whatever it was. That there's just no. There's no one's ever recanted. It's not going to happen.
Right, because this stuff did happen, and that's the other thing that people were asking about. What kind of the most interesting stuff? Like, you know, obviously we're a bunch. a lot of us are ghost hunters, and we're looking for paranormal activity to study, take measurements of, record on film, record on, you know, digital, record every which way we can possibly record it to try and understand this stuff. That's just what we do, right? And it's our hobby, it's our passion. For a couple of us, well, not us here, because we're not employed doing that, but there are a couple people that we've talked to that that's what they do, even for a living. But what happens is they're interested in the activity, like the physical phenomena is what we would call it, that would happen. The smells, which of course were you attempt to portray a smell, right, in a
actually,
movie.
There were two different smells. One was the what we described at the time as kind of cheap perfume that came and went and was pretty noticeable around Kathy from time to time. And the other was the I guess you'd describe them as sewer cells, the smells in the basement, coming from in and around the what became known as the Red Room. That was the closet of sorts hidden behind the bookcase.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Those were the two smells that come to mind today.
Now the one about the perfume. Now,
yes.
Perfume is generally a female kind of thing, associated with females, at least in our society. Of course, cologne would, you know, a stronger, more male scent would be, you know, considered a male scent. But I'm wondering, that if I smell perfume in a haunted place, I don't tend to think of it as being evil, or thinking that that's a threatening kind of thing. I think that may be a way. And I've smelled things. I've smelled actually church incense, where it did not need, or there was no opportunity for church incense to be, and it was an overwhelming, pungent smell, like they were just walking right next to you with these church incenses burning, and it wasn't a threatening thing. So were there in your house, were there like some, perhaps some goodness to offset all this like horrible, or you know, like just onslaught of bizarre things that caused you to like get out?
The first time that Kathy described this when it happened to her was that she smelled this and it came up, she felt behind her, and for quite a few moments, she felt embraced by something behind her, and she felt it was a woman, and it was more of a comforting gesture than one to terrify. It was very confusing for her. It was the kind of thing that she had difficulty explaining or trying to even tell me about. She was quite serious about this, and mm-hmm. It happened more than once to her. The odor she described as, forgive the expression, an old lady's perfume.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard that in several different hauntings, so that's the kind of thing that does happen. I mean, it's reported by, you know, other people as well.
It was a strong odor. There were times you could get a whiff of it, but it was more of an event pointed at Kathy, I think, is the best way to put that. It wasn't something that I experienced myself. That was something strictly pointed. It was towards Kathy, and I think it was my way of looking at it then, and even now, is that it was one mother trying to communicate to another.
I wonder if then. Because obviously it was mayhem, right? It was chaos.
At times, yes, absolutely, at times.
And all these just bizarre, unexplainable things, because and I've had bizarre, unexplainable things happen to me. I was fortunate enough to be able to spend a week at the Holly Hotel, not at night, because it's not a hotel, it's a dining establishment now, but we were there for a week, two Octobers ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, and some bizarre things happened, but not in an onslaught, you know. It was just like...
Where is this, Doug?
That would be in Holly, Michigan. It is in Holly, Michigan. It's called the Holly Hotel. It was a hotel for a long, long time, right on the train tracks. So it was a popular and very, very busy place at one time. Now, of course, the train is of less importance, and so it's a restaurant now. And we went down. They have a comedy club in the basement. That's where we were hanging around during this week long event, and it was. There was at least 7 identifiable, unexplainable things that happened to me, but it was spread out throughout the week. It wasn't like all at once. It wasn't like, what's going on here? That kind of thing. And we knew the place was haunted going in, we had heard that the place was haunted going in.
I think definitely the most impressive, though, was the music.
The music on the last night, yeah. The people came out of the event, because when the event was going on, it was in a locked room. They came out and they said, you could have turned the music down. There was no music playing in the hotel or in the whole building. So
did you hear the music?
I did not. We were in the comedy club. Nobody.
Other people heard it.
Right. Nobody in the rest of the entire building, except for the people attending the event that was happening in a closed room, those were the people who heard it. And there is the legend of a lady who lived at the hotel.
Nora, if I remember right.
Nora, and she would play music for guests. She would play old-time piano music. That's what she would do. And she was a spinster. She didn't, Nora did have the husband, but he had left her. That's what it was. So she was single, not by choice. And she lived at the hotel, and she would welcome the travelers and play music at night for them. And that was the kind of music that they heard. And they said you could have turned it down, which means that it was very audible and very distracting to the event, which was like a psychic night kind of thing going on. So it just this music that was not being played distracted them. So that's a very real kind of thing.
What I heard there in the house was, and I was the only one that heard this, was the what I called a marching band kind of tuning up. It wasn't real music,
mm-hmm.
but it was the noise of a band trying to get it together, maybe one way to put it. Our dog, Harry, was by the front door asleep, and I went down the stairs and thought a clock radio or something had gone off, and by the time I got down there, he was still asleep, but the noise went away. And it sounded at one point... My recollection of it today is that, like, they had rolled up the rug and were moving around as well. It wasn't just the noise. But there was nothing there.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot of activity. That takes a lot of energy. Another thing we look at is the energy involved in these kinds of things. To make noises, to make smells, to make things move, to make apparitions, to make any of this stuff happen, it takes energy. And energy is usually hard for them to get a hold of. But evidently there's something there, or there was something there that was helping feed all this stuff. And that's another thing, another question I had come up with is where did they suppose the energy came from? But I don't think we're going to be able to answer that. That's, psychic energy is something that we still don't know that much about. When you heard, what's interesting is you said a marching band tuning up.
Yes. And I'm looking at what we answered in the polygraph test. This isn't stuff that I look at very often. On AmityvilleHorror.com, there is a section called Documents.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And in there is on page 2 is the section that deals with the being asked about this sound. And it was question 5. At the Amityville House, did you hear what sounded like a marching band tuning up in the middle of the night? And I answered yes. This was a polygraph given by Chris Gugas in 1979, I think it was. You go back and see that.
So even technology has proven that you heard, when you say you heard this.
June 21st, 1979. that this was given by professional security consultants. They were polygraph and security specialists on Vine Street, North Vine Street in Hollywood, California. Chris Gugas, we put some information about his book there also. He taught the FBI how to use the polygraph.
An expert then, yeah.
Oh, he was considered the number two man in the world at the time.
And what's amazing is they use polygraphs even now in paranormal research, and we can see that on things like shows like Proof Positive.
Right.
I wasn't aware of that.
And they've come out with, yeah, they've had these cases, and none of the cases today are as upsetting as the Amityville Horror case. Right, because I mean, there's a lot of, you know, pretty bad cases, and on one hand, I feel sorry for the entities that are causing this havoc, and do they even know that they're causing havoc in our realm? I don't know, but I feel sorry for that. But the people that are going through this, how can they prove it? Right. So Proof Positive, which is a show on Sci-Fi Channel, when they take on a case, if it's only witness testimony that they can use to verify this, they actually do undergo polygraphs, and sometimes it comes out where, oh, absolutely flat out everything you answered was true, and sometimes it comes out where, you know, it was kind of iffy, you know, we can't do it.
You said something very interesting. You said that you feel sorry for the entities causing this in some way
nowadays. Now, with your particular case, what you went through, I don't think that was like somebody trapped, you know, not knowing what's going on. You know, I have a feeling that a lot of the things that at least I've run across personally is, you know, entities that don't know that they're causing such mayhem, or they're trying to communicate with us, but it's not obviously an easy thing to do. So what they, because we're out there seeking this, we're seeking people on the other side to try and communicate with, and through EVPs, through recordings, through digital, through analog technology, we're using technology to try and get evidence of what's going on over there. And what happened over there, meaning, you know, the other side of the veil, what happens is, I think a lot of times the folks are trying to talk to us, but what's coming through on our side, because we don't know what exactly it is that divides us, other than we call it a veil, right, is what comes through might be wrong. It might be not what they intended to say, or things like that. Let me give you an example. Here's a really good example.
In terms of, like, translation?
Right. Here's a great example.
Our interpretation of it.
I took a psychic lady, a very, very good friend of mine, Kelly McLeod. She's going to be on our show in a week or two,
April
3rd.
Right?
April 3rd. And I took her, she was there at the Holly Hotel. And
okay,
we went up in the second floor bathroom. This is the bathroom where they report that men, now this is an expensive restaurant. You go there you plan to go there, right?
$30 to $40 a plate typically.
Right. So if you take a family of four, you're talking 120 some bucks plus tip and drinks, and so it's an expensive place for the area. And what happens is, these men, these are usually businessmen, fine, respected members of the community. They go upstairs to go to the lavatory, right? Because that's what you do after you eat, or, you know. So they do that. They come running downstairs, their, you know, sweat beads on their brow, and they go to the hostess and say, and I've talked to the hostess, she says that this happens. They say, something's going on in the bathroom, this is scaring me, I'm absolutely scared, I've got to leave, you know, we have to settle up our check now, because I'm getting out, I'm leaving. And to the great embarrassment of their wives and their, you know, their business associates or their friends, you know. And what happens to them, what they've described is, they go in, everything's great, they're doing what they go to a lavatory to do. All of a sudden it gets dark. Even though there are lights on, it gets dark. And it gets very, very cold, even though when they walked in, it was absolutely fine, you know, like the temperature of everything else. It gets very cold, very dark, and they hear this rushing noise. And it's very evil, and they don't like it. And it's bad, and they run out in this, you know, state of panic, and they leave. They get all their friends together, all their business associates and their wives, and they gather them all up, and they march out the door because they're that upset about what happened. I took a psychic into that men's lavatory. Kelly and I went into the men's lavatory together. And I know, that was something. And she got the impression that there's a lady there, a lady entity, and all she's trying to do is say hi.